Father, this morning we just come to you. As we look to your word, I pray the living word will look upon us with favor. As we meditate upon your word, I pray you would speak to us. Constantly speak to us. Constantly mold us, Father. Change us, Father. More and more, Father. In the image of your Son. Help us to abide in you. Abide in your word. And not turn to the left or to the right. Because power, strength and life is in your word. Once again, we lift your word up. Be glorified, Jesus, in our midst. Even during the ministry of the word. Speak, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just one look at seven verses from the book of Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 1 to 7. Can we please read?
అంతట ప్రవక్తల శిష్యులు ఎలీషా యొక్కకు వచ్చి, ఇదిగో నీ యొద్ద మాకున్న స్థలము ఇరుకుగా ఉన్నది, నీ మీసల వేసే మేము యొర్దాను నదికి పోయి తల యొక్క మ్రాను అచ్చట నుండి తెచ్చుకుని మరి ఒక చోట నివాసము పట్టుకున్నామని మనకు చేయగా అతడు వెళ్ళుడని ప్రత్యుత్తరమిచ్చను. ఒకడు దయచేసి నీ దాసులమైన మాతో కూడా నీవు రావాలనని కోరగా అతడు నేను వచ్చదనని చెప్పి వారితో కూడా పోయాను. వారు యొర్దానుకు వచ్చి మారు నరుచుండి ఒకడు దూరము నరుచున్నప్పుడు ఒడ్డవి కూడి నీటిలో పడిపోగా వాడు, అయ్యో నా ఎన్నవాడ, అది ఎరువు తెచ్చినదని మొర్రపెట్టను గనుక ఆ దైవజనుడు అదెక్కడ పడ్డని అడిగాను. వాడు అతనికి ఆ స్థలంను చూపింపగా అతడు 91 నరికి నీళ్లలో వేయగా గొడ్డలి తేలెను. అతడు దాన్ని పట్టుకోమని దాని వారితో చెప్పగా వాడు తన చేయి చాపి దాన్ని పట్టుకోలేను.
ఆమేన్. చాప్టర్ 5 ఇస్ అబౌట్ నమాన్.
5వ అధ్యాయము నామాన్ గురించి ఉంటుంది.
చాప్టర్ 6 ఇస్ అబౌట్ ద సీజ్, the Arameans, and above all, we all know chapter 6 where God opens the servant's eyes, Elisha's servant's eyes, where he is able to see into the spiritual realm. But in between there is this 7 verses. Strange 7 verses put in the middle of 2 very important chapters. And first thing we see is there is a group of prophets. And they said to Elisha, look, the place where we meet is very small. Let us build a bigger place. And verse 2 they say, let us all go to Jordan. And we will all cut a tree and build a place. And Elisha said, go. And in verse 3, one of them said, won't you please come with your servants? And Elisha said, I will. Okay. We will come to that at the end. So they went to Jordan. And they began cutting the trees. One of the prophets, when he was cutting down the tree, the axe head came off and it fell into the river.
చెట్టు నరుకుతున్న సమయంలో తన చేతుల నుంచి గొడ్డలి జారి కిందికి వచ్చేసి పడిపోయింది.
That's what the whole story is about. There is a very miraculous intervention by God. To cut the tree. To build the house. They all needed one thing. They needed the axe. They needed the axe. One of the prophets. The axe that came off. It came off. We all know, I hope we all know what an axe is like. We are older generation, so we know what an axe is like. New generation doesn't have any clue what an axe is. They have. The axe has two components. There is the axe head with which you cut. Then there is the handle. And the handle. If you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. If the axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. God says something about the axe. Remember, God has prophesied to Jeremiah and the other prophets, you are my battle axe. You are my battle axe. But Solomon says here, if the axe loses its edge, more effort will be needed. In this case, we see the axe came off. The first question is this. Have I lost my edge? Have I lost my sharpness? See, spiritually we should be very, very aware. Have I lost my edge in my prayer life? Have I lost my edge in my worship life? Have I lost my edge in my word life? Am I struggling to pray? Am I struggling to worship? Am I struggling with the word to get revelation? Scripture is very clear. If the axe loses its edge, you will need more strength. More effort. More struggle. The axe is there. The handle is there. But what was lost is the edge. So as God's children, as God's servants, the first thing we need to be careful about is, don't lose your edge, your sharpness. So how do we sharpen our edge? Proverbs 27 and verse 17. See, answers are all in the Bible and not outside. Iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. Iron sharpens iron. We know, I don't know whether they sometimes still come, the guy with that cycle where you all go with your knives to sharpen. That is also metal. And you put your knife over their sparks fly. Iron sharpens iron. You don't take a knife and do it on wax. Or on wood. You take something that is equally hard. And that's one of the things we need to realize. If we don't choose the company we keep, Elisha was sharp because he chose to follow Elijah. Joshua was sharp because he chose to follow Moses. Iron sharpens iron. These are choices we make. Now it's much more easier. We have internet. And so much is available. But even in internet, how do we choose? How do we choose? Who do we choose to hear? Always choose those who are much higher than you. Don't choose those who are lower than you. Choose those who will challenge you. Then only you will remain sharp. You see, the nature of the flesh is this. It always wants to go down. The nature of the spirit is this. God's spirit draws you up. There's a saying in English, even dead fish goes down. But you want to go up river, you have to be a live fish. So we have to be very careful about the iron we choose. The people we are going to listen to. We always have to pick people who will challenge us. And not people who keep us comfortable. And one of the things you realize about the Word of God, if you ask Christians, do you know your word? And they will say yes. What do you know? I remember in a very large meeting, a house group, church house leader was asked, which is your favorite portion? Psalm 23. Everybody's favorite. Tell me Psalm 23. Everybody will say the first 1, 2, 3 verses. After that, they don't know and they don't want to know. The Psalm 23 also changes. Even though I walk in the shadow of death, nobody wants. They like the previous verses. One of the reasons people don't study the Old Testament is because it's iron. And nobody reads the epistles because it is iron. They stick to the Gospels. That too they avoid John's Gospel. Because that is iron. You see, iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. And we have to be very, very careful. Scripture says, iron sharpens iron. And what does it say there? It says, the man, yeah. So one man sharpens another. You know what Jesus did? Every day he went to his father. Allowed his father to sharpen him. Allowed his father to sharpen him. So we have to look at our own life. Because if we lose our cutting edge, we won't leave a mark in history. Mark in history. You see, if the axe had been sharp, when this man swung it, if it had hit the wood and the handle had come off, still wouldn't have lost the axe head. It would have stuck to the wood. Prayer is one of the ways we keep our axe head sharp. No negotiation with that. It keeps us sharp with God. Fellowship is what keeps us sharp with each other. And I always see the people who neglect fellowship in the church are the ones who fall away first. God has put it that way. Our constant interaction with the Word of God and the practice of it in the fellowship. That's what scripture says, man sharpens another. Doctrine alone, unless it's lived out, won't sharpen us. We'll lose our edge. And you look at every one of God's great men over there, the fellowship with God and the fellowship with man, and they kept their edge. You know, if you go down to Secunderabad, you will see NCC there.
NCC group captain.
And there is an army officers there. He wears the same uniform. And he has got all the stars and everything. But if you look at him, he is handling NCC students. You go to the Air Force camp at Hakimpet. You will see a lot of officers. Some of them were fighter pilots. But their vision went. So they were grounded. They won't be given a plane again. If you look at them, they still have the same uniform. Same rank. But they will not be used for what they were trained. Why? Because they lost their edge. Please remember this. If we lose our edge, God will not use us for what we were called. Don't lose your edge. Moses was used till the last date of his 120. And scripture says his eyes were sharp and he was strong because he never lost his edge. 40 years in the wilderness, everyone who came with him lost their edge. He did not lose his edge till the last day. So even on his last day, God could take him up to the mountain and show him the promised land. And when he died, he dies seeing the promised land. Because he never lost his edge. Paul also dies the same way. He never lost his edge. He dies seeing his crown. The first lesson God teaches us this morning. Don't lose your edge. Don't lose your sharpness. Sharpen your spiritual life daily in prayer, in word, and in fellowship. Second case. He didn't lose, we don't know whether the edge. What he lost was the handle. Now, I don't know how many of you have used the axe. I have used the axe. In childhood, I grew up using an axe. One thing about the axe is this. The handle is narrow. Once the axe is fixed, you have to hammer it in to see it is firm. So when we take the axe, the first thing we do is to see if the axe is loose or not. And hit it and make it firm. God has given a gift. Every one of us. Are you shaped to that your gift? Are you fixed to your gift? How fixed are we to it? How attached are we to the word of God? Or are we very loosely attached? You will see many, many servants of God in the Bible playing it loose and hard with the word of God. And you will see the axe flying off. Samson was one man like that. Was incredibly gifted. But the handle was loose. Handle was loose. It didn't matter what the prophecy was. Didn't matter he was miraculously born. It did not matter rules for living was given. It didn't matter he was set apart from his mother's womb. But he played the fool with God's instruction with his word. First thing written about Samson when he comes on his own that he went to Timnah, he went to the Philistine camp. The question is, are we separated from the world? Are we separated unto God? Or do we want to be yoked with the world? Samson's axe flew off. Saul's axe flew off. Gehazi's axe flew off. These are all servants of God and anointed servants of God. And many of them did not even know the Holy Spirit had left. Until it was too late. While from the beginning till the end, Samuel was fixed to the word of God. As a child, as a young man, as an old man, the axe head and the handle were firmly fixed. That's where Paul will encourage the Corinthian church, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Test every morning, that is the first test. Lord, am I attached to you? How firmly am I attached to you? It is not whether you are attached to me. whether I am attached to you. You see, the prophet made a mistake. If he had checked whether the axe was firm to the handle, he wouldn't have lost the axe. He was very casual. That's what happened to Samson. Delilah said, Samson, wake up. The Philistines are upon you. And scripture says, he woke up as usual, thinking he could be strong like before, without realizing the Holy Spirit had left. You know why? Because he was loosely attached. And God says, don't do that. Constantly check. Constantly check. If you look at an axe head, the handle is very smooth. Very smooth. Why? Because of use. Because of use. Not rough. Used and used and used and used and very, very smooth. That's how it should be. How is your handle? How is your handle?
The handle allowed me.
Used and used and used and used and used. But if you look at the head of the handle, it is broken. Broken. Every day you hit it on the ground. So the axe stays firmly in the hand. How is your life? Is it smooth before God? And how is your head? Are you broken before God? That's what keeps the axe onto the handle. This is how we see the people like Moses and all. They were always broken before God. And God could tell them anything. Nothing was too simple. They would obey unconditionally. And God is telling us, how are we? Are we our use, the word of God has become part of our life? We have used the word of God over and over and over and over. Now the word of God is how we think. That God can grip us. And he knows this man has been made clean, smooth by the word of God. And yet his accent is firm, fixed firmly. It is from this we have actually an English term. Some people fly off the handle. It's an actual term which English learned it from the Book of Kings. Some people lose their temper. They fly off the handle. They are not able to resist many things because they are loosely attached to the word. It just flies off. God says, don't be loosely attached to me. Loosely attached to my word. Loosely attached to my spirit. That's what God is talking about. When you go to sleep, or when you are awake, be attached to God. Sharpen it consistently. Be attached. Then if you know how you use an axe, one of the two things we do when we stop, we finish cutting, And then going back home, you're not going to use the axe. You do two things. One or the two. You will hit the log. You will hit the log and leave the axe like that. Why? Because it should not rust. Or you oil the axe and leave it. To be very careful. Because it may be sharp. It may be fixed. But rust can come in. Rust has come in. There are a lot of people firmly attached. They are very sharp. Rust has been come. You don't see them preaching. You don't them sharing. You don't see them in church. They all are sitting in their houses. They are very sharp. Rust has taken off. God says be very careful. If you don't oil it, it will not work for you. You know, Jonathan, Saul, Saul and Jonathan died. They died. They had their armor. They had their weapons. They had the shield. But they died. And David, when he weeps over Saul and David, do you know what he actually says? Saul's and Jonathan's shield was not oiled. Was not oiled. You can have the shield of faith, but if the anointing is gone, it cannot resist the fiery darts of the enemy. You can have a sword. You can have an axe. But if rust has taken over, it won't work on the day of battle. Why? Because it was left out in the open. It was not protected. God says protect. Guard your edge. Guard your gift. Guard. Otherwise it will lose. There's no more shine there. No more shine. You know what it is called in the Bible? It is called zeal. Zeal. My eyes, wherever I go, is always looking for who is zealous for the Lord. When I went to preach first time to a country, it was underground church. It was full. And I was preaching there for the first time. And I was looking. And there was this young boy sitting in the front. Class 8. And he was watching, looking like this. Like this. 2 years later, when I went back to that country to work with the church, he was the first one who came and said, "Can I come to your house on Saturdays?" And I used to stay alone. Saturday, Sunday, he stayed with me. Today, he's the pastor of one of the largest churches in that church. You know, never lose your zeal. Lord of servants of God lose their zeal. No, one thing we cannot lose is our passion for God. Jesus was zealous for God. That's the first thing the disciples saw. In the beginning of his ministry in Gospel of God, John says he goes to the temple. And he cleans out the temple. And they remembered. Zeal for my father's house had consumed me. And many people have that in the beginning. They're zealous about repentance. They're zealous about change. Zealous about prayer. Zealous about worship. Zealous about going to church on time. Zealous about serving. Slowly the zeal goes down. That's what the Bible records. The end of his life. Around 5 or 6 days before he died. When Jesus goes into the temple, the zeal is still the same. He makes a rope and cleans the temple
out.
Is your zeal the same to repent, to change the beginning and the end? Don't lose your zeal. Don't lose your zeal. Actually, Isaiah, when he prophesies about Jesus in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, you know what it says? Yeah. 9:7. It is the zeal of the Lord Almighty that will accomplish it. Can have a wonderful axe, sharp axe, fits to the handle, but you have no zeal, you go nowhere. Don't lose your zeal. Don't lose your zeal. Because today we have come to that point in India, every servant is required. And if your zeal is not there, you will not survive. You will not survive. We need to be zealous for the Lord. Zealous for the Lord. First see that your axe is sharp. See that the handle is firmly attached. Don't play hard and loose with the word of God. Don't lose your zeal, your passion for God. Age can make us physically weaker. But it should not take our zeal away. So people like this Pastor Zach went and sits and preaches, but zeal hasn't changed. They are in their 80s. Yes, body will get weaker. That's not the problem. The problem is when our passion gets weaker. That's the issue. The issue is not with the body. The issue is with the zeal. And the passion goes. The zeal goes. Because it's been lying in the open. It was never protected. It was never constantly sharpened. It was not regularly oiled. And we lose our zeal. We lose our zeal. See, I come here every month. But when I go to other countries, next month I'm in another country for almost 3 weeks. So when I go to those places, when I meet people who have known me, at the end of the meeting, one of the things I ask them, be honest. have I lost my zeal? You have seen me every year. One thing I want to know. Have I lost my edge? Have I lost my zeal? There are two things I don't want to lose. Because if the edge is gone, we can't be used for cutting. We cannot be used. If the zeal is gone, we will not go anywhere. That's the cry of God to the church. To the final church of Laodicea, Jesus says, be zealous and repent. Be zealous and repent. When Paul writes to the first letter to Corinthians, they were in total confusion. But that letter awakened them. So they repent. So in the second letter he says, I saw your repentance. What zeal! What zeal! Most of us here are old. We either have grey hair or we have grey hair that has been blackened. But we are all old, except one or two young people. Rest of us are old. But doesn't matter. So they say Philippians, and the letter to Philemon were all written at the same time. When he writes a letter to Philippians, he's lying in prison in James. When he writes a letter to Philemon, he's still lying in chains in prison. And this pastor Paul says, I am pressing on. In prison, I'm zealous, I'm still pressing on. But read Philemon 1:9. Who's pressing on? Who's still zealous about his ministry, about his work, and about growing with God? Philemon 1:9. Who is that? Old man. It's an old man. Paul is writing to Philemon and to Philippians and pressing on. Age should not take your passion away. You should be as passionate for a church as for an individual. He will write to the church in Philippi and he will write for one person, Philemon. Never lost his zeal. Never lost his zeal. And pastor, servants of God, don't lose your zeal. Because he is zealous for us. And we have to be zealous for him. Fourth thing. Back to Ecclesiastes 10:10.
నేను చుట్టూ ఆయుధము మొద్దుగా ఉన్నప్పుడు దాన్ని బదులు చేరి ఎడల మనలో ఎక్కువ బలము వినియోగించవలము. అయితే కార్యశక్తికి జ్ఞానమే
కార్యసిద్ధి. యు వాంట్ సక్సెస్, it's not enough that you have a sharp axe head, well oiled, axe head is fixed firmly. Be skillful. Be skillful. This is what Paul is telling Timothy. Timothy, be very skillful in how you handle the word. If you give the best axe to a novice, the guy who doesn't know, he will struggle to cut a small log. Because he doesn't know. One, he doesn't know how to hold. Second, he doesn't know how to cut. Because it's an art. I have many, many young mothers in the church. They all try to make chapatis. But the chapatis come out like map of India, map of China, map of this thing. Why? One, I say it's because either there is too much water in the dough. Or too less. I said it has to be right. How do you know it is right? After you mix, when you touch, nothing will stick to your hand. Second thing, what should you do? When you are rolling it out, hold the pin lightly. With both hands. If you hold it lightly, as you are rolling it, the chapati will move on that. It has come out a perfect circle. I may be a pastor, but I can make wonderful chapatis and cut a log better than a woodcutter. You know what? That's what God is talking about. He said, be skillful. Timothy, work hard. Work hard. You should be able to divide the word of God correctly. God doesn't bless lazy servants. We want to be successful. The only successful that matters is in the eyes of God. But the question is, are we skillful? Paul will say in the book of Romans, be excellent. The best you can be. You're not competing with anybody. You want to be the best you can be. The psalmist in Psalm 33 and verse 3 will say, play skillfully. Play skillfully. If you know how to play a guitar, it's a wonderful gift. Practice. Until you are the best you can be. If you are a preacher, study. Yesterday I was telling my nephew. He's also in Bible college. I told him, listening and reading are disciplines. Speaking, writing are gifts. If you listen and read regularly, you will speak well. We'll say, Lord, give me the gift of speaking. He says, first read, Baba. Otherwise, what will you speak? Do your work. Work hard on the word. Be excellent. And that's what God is asking us. Whatever we are, be excellent. It doesn't matter what you are doing in God's kingdom. Be the best. And that's what Solomon is saying. If you are excellent, God will give you success. If you look in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 18, in verse 18. They were skillful in battle. Trained in battle. To young people, now summer vacation is over. I always tell before summer vacation. 2 months vacation. Please use that time to learn one thing. You see, the Bible talks about those left-handed guys who could sling a stone and split a hair. Why could David bring Goliath down? Where did his confidence come from? One, he had confidence in his God. Second, he had confidence in his sling. He told King Saul, I don't want this sword. I don't want this spear. I am not skillful in this. I know what I am skillful in. This is what I am skillful in. And he had confidence in this. Why? Because of constant practice. We should have constant practice in this, that we are confident it doesn't matter when God calls me, where he sends me, I can go because I'm skillful in this. Because that is the nature of God. Scripture says God is skillful. So God is telling us today, be the best you can be. We don't know what happened in his case. Was it an accident? Was the axe not sharp? Was the handle loose? Or was he a prophet who was using an axe for the first time? And the axe fell. Fell into the river. And sank. All he has is a handle. See, this is a physical thing. It's not a spiritual thing. You see, a lot of people in the spiritual realm have lost their axe and are flaying with the handle. There is no axe head there. That has flown away long time ago. But because this is spiritual and nobody can see, they are flaying before pulpits, but nothing is happening. Axe head has gone. So scripture says, in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 5. He cried out. The road to recovery. Oh my Lord, he cried out. He didn't just cry out. Crying out doesn't change anything. Crying to the right person changes something. The whole company. He did not cry out to his friends. He cried out to Elisha. Elisha is a type of Christ there. He get on the phone and cry to everybody. They cannot recover what we have lost. There is only one who can give back what we have lost. Scripture says he cried out. Why did he cry out? Because he was acutely aware of his loss. Question is this. Are we aware of our loss? Doesn't bother us. Samson did not even know the Holy Spirit had left. Saul was not bothered. He knew the Spirit had left, but he was not bothered. Samson did not know. Saul was not bothered. Are we aware that we have lost our prayer life? Are we worried about it? Are we aware we have lost our word life? That we have lost our zeal? If we have lost, the question is, do we cry out? After blindness and hardship, Samson cried out. Lord, once more, restore my accent. Saul never did. Samson had to be blinded and to be chained by the Philistines before he was aware. Because he had the throne and the kingdom, never cried out. Scripture says, he cried out. Alas, my Lord. What does he say? It was borrowed. It was borrowed. Paul will say to the letter in Corinthians, what is that you have that was not given? Alas, do you know this body is not mine? This strength is not mine. This gift is not mine. It was lent for a season. And if I have lost my zeal, do I know it is not mine? It was given. None of us are our own. We belong to Him. We are bought for a price. The body belongs to Him. The strength belongs to Him. His anointing belongs to Him. Our money, our possession, everything belongs to Him. Earth and the fullness belongs to God. And the people thereof. Alas, my Lord. I have lost my accent. It was not mine. It was not mine. It was borrowed. Scripture says, every man will have to stand before God. In his blindness, in his weakness, he cried out, Lord, once more, God gave him strength. He killed more in his death than all those he destroyed in his death. David had lost everything. Ziklag was burned out. Wife and children were taken. Soldiers had lost their strength. And they wanted to kill him. For the first time in 16 months, he cried out to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. And he told Abiathar, ask the Lord, what should I do? God said, mercy. Hold it, and you will recover all. God is a God who helps us to recover all. Scripture says, David recovered this man cried out, "Oh my Lord, it was borrowed." And verse 6. The man of God asked, "Where did you lose it?" Where did you lose it? Do you know where we lost it? Where did you lose it? Samson, do you know where you lost it? Yes. On the road to Timnah. David, do you know where you lost it the first time? When I went to the Philistine camp and asked the king, Achish, give me refuge. David, do you know where you lost it the second time? Yes, I lost it on the roof of my palace when I looked at the naked woman. Judas, do you know where you lost it? When I first time I put my hand into the money bag and took the Lord's offering, I lost it. Balaam, do you know when you lost it? When you were ready to receive Balak's gold, curse God's people, you lost it. Do you know where you lost it? Question God asked. He let us go there. You will recover it only where you lost it. And scripture says he showed Elisha the place. And what did Elisha do? Interesting. Put it into the water. Israel had come out of the wilderness. And they were thirsty. And they came to a pool which was bitter. And they cried out. They complained. Moses cried out. Moses again, God showed him a piece of wood. Put it into the water. The water turned sweet. Cut a piece of wood. Put it into the water. The answer came. God's way to recovery is always. He says, "You want to come back? You want to recover what is lost? Come back to the cross. Come back to the cross." God's answer is always this. Place where my son paid the price. Because you did not sharpen the edge. Your mistake. He paid the price. Because you didn't stay close to the handle. Your sin. He paid the price. Because you did not oil your axe. Your sin. He paid the price. Because you were not skillful with it. Your and my sin. He paid the price. He said, come back to the God has only one answer. Only one answer. It's the cross. At the cross, there was a divine transaction. My sin was taken. His righteousness was released. My weakness was taken. And his strength was released. My laziness was taken. His hard work was released. There is no other way to recovery other than through the cross. And that's what God is saying. Because that's where it all begins. Cling to the cross. Cling to the cross. There is no other way. Let's go back to the beginning. And verse 2. Verse 1. The place is too small. Place is too small. And the people are too many. Let us build a larger place. The kingdom of God. God is constantly expanding. Because more people are getting in. The house is white. Laborers are few. And what does verse 2 say? Let us go. Let each one cut a tree. Everyone has a task in the kingdom. Everyone went. Everyone was involved. Everyone is being used. What made the difference that day? It's verse 3. One of them. What did he say? Would you please come with your servants? That's the key. One of them. Imagine if he hadn't asked Elisha. And Elisha hadn't gone with them. We wouldn't have 2 Kings chapter 6, 1 to 7. First thing we do every day. The first thing I did. Lord, 9 o'clock, Malkathiri. I preached there so many times. Please come with me. Doesn't matter how many times you have gone. Doesn't matter how long you've been in ministry. Sunday, I was telling the Nepali church, he's such a good gentleman, he will knock at your door and say, please open. You have to invite him. Lord, come with me. I need you. I need you. You see, at the close, you see, in the Gospel of Mark, you don't have to turn then. The Gospel according to Mark. Jesus, after preaching, he told his disciples, come, let's go to the other side. The scripture says, they took him as he was in the boat. They sent the multitude away. They got into a boat. And scripture says, many boats in the sea. Many boats. Then the storm hit. When the storm hit, he was at the back. He was sleeping. And when the boat was about to sink, they came and woke him up. Lord, we are about to be destroyed. Don't you care? He rose. Rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea. Everything became calm for everybody. The multitude on the ground saw the storm stop. The other boats also saw the storm stop. The disciples also saw the storm stop. But only they knew why it stopped. Because they took him along. Take him along. Okay, because you took him along, the storms in other lives may stop. But they will never have the experience you had. 276 people in a ship. The ship has been floating in the sea for 14 days. Everybody has lost hope. Everybody is getting to die. Nobody is eating. Paul stands up and he says, brethren, don't lose hope. Let us eat. Because the angel of my God stood by me and told me, for your sake, I'm given all these lives into your hands. One man, one ship, took Jesus along. So those 75 people got their life back. Company of prophets. One prophet. Come along. Take him each day. But be very careful. That's the nature of Jesus. He's opposite of the devil. You have to give him permission. He will not force anything. Scripture says he went to the boat. He went to the back. And he went to sleep. Where is Jesus in your life? Is he in the front? Or is he at the back? Is he at the steering wheel? Or is he a backseat passenger? He won't take the steering wheel unless you invite him. When do you call him? When your life is about to sink or when the first water came in? He's at the back. He's gone to sleep. The water has got in. Water is about to sink. Till then they are trying on their own. Last minute, they go wake him up. When do you call upon the Lord? When trouble begins, or at the end, when you are at the verge of suicide, you will call on him. In English we say, is he the first call or the last person? That's the nature of Jesus. He said, Lord, please come. He went along. So he lost the accent. He didn't cry. We all cry. He cried in the right direction. All these people he knew couldn't help him. He cried in that direction. Lord, I lost my accent. And it was borrowed. That's his David's cry. Lord, I have lost the joy of my salvation. You are the only one. I have the palace. I have the kingdom. I have peace. I have prosperity. But I know something. I have lost something. Only you can give it back. Restore unto me joy of my salvation. Restore unto me the passion for your ministry. Restore unto me the life in the prayer closet. Restore unto me the revelations you used to give me in the past. Lord, restore. Because I want to be a battle axe in your kingdom. Don't put me in the shelf. Use me till the last day. Till the last day. Let me be like Jacob. On the last day. My spiritual eyes see clearer today than I began. O sons of Jacob. O sons of Israel. Here are your father. Reuben. Simeon. Levi. Judah. Scepter shall not depart from Judah. God. Man. Joseph. Joseph shall be a fruitful man. He shall be across the wall. And be a blessing to many. Because he remained a sharp edge till his last day. Because one day in his life, when he was about to lose everything, he wrestled with God. He said, Lord, bless you, bless me. I won't let you go. I won't let you go. Cried out to the Lord. And you recovered everything. And remain sharp till the end. This is my plea to you, servants of God. Cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Recover everything. And be sharp till the end. May God bless you. Shall we pray? Father, this morning we just come to you. May we never lose our edge, Lord. May we never lose our passion for you. May we always be useful in the Master's hand. May we never become a vessel of wrath, O God. Help us to be a blessing, a vessel of blessing, Father. Till the last day of our life. Make us skillful, Lord. Train our hands for war. And our fingers for battle. If we have lost something that is of you, help us to recover it all. And above all, Father, help us to cling to the cross. Because at the cross, we are dead to the world. The world is dead to us. And we are alive unto God and God alone. Bless your servants in this hall today. Every brother, every sister, old and young, let them hear God say, pursue. Overtake. Recover all. Because it's the Father's joy to see His children succeed. Thank you, Father. Touch Pastor Krishnamohan, Lord. Heal him. Restore his strength. Let him run along, Father. Stronger and faster than before, O Lord. Be with Pastor Ramesh, Lord. As he does this ministry, Lord, let him never lose his zeal or his passion. We do not look to the left or right. Our eyes are only upon you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray.